Blog Talk Radio.
I want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love, like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again, one that men can't offend. Because your word is thin, one that loves without price, like you, Lord Jesus Christ. One a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. One a love like you, be like you, just like you did. One a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgives when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurt. Want a heart that forgets when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemy. Want a love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want to walk like you, talk like you, just like you did. Want to be like you, live like you, just like you did. 'Cause a heart that forgives is a heart that believes. Totally free from the pain of the past, and the heart that lets go is the heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go. God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been holding what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord, this is me. Ever hurt me, gotta let it go.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Mission. Amen.
Praise God. Welcome to Woman to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. Amen. I had a challenge. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Good to see you here. Janice, God bless you. And I see quite a few people beat me here and they're no longer here. But prayerfully, they'll come back. My husband is supposed to be co-hosting with me tonight, but he is resting, okay? He just got home from work, and also he's been going through chemo. So he's in the middle of chemo treatment because he was healed from cancer this year, and we're going through the process. So we thank God for him being restored. We thank God for him being restored. I'm so excited. I haven't been here with Woman to Woman in a while, and today I want to talk about relationships, making marriage and relationships work. You won't believe what I went through to get on the air today. It was something. My computer wouldn't work. I just now got my computer back up. So I apologize for being tardy on today. It was something. I didn't think I was going to be able to come on Blab, but I prayed and I believe God, and here we are. We are on Blab. We're on Blog Talk Radio. I welcome those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio. I welcome those of you who are here on Blab. And we're going to go forward. Prayerfully, my husband will join us again. He's resting, so I didn't want to wake him. He worked all day at FedEx. He's on medication. He wanted to come. I didn't expect him to come. But when he heard that I was going to be talking about our book, he wanted to come. Last year in April, we wrote the book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work. Again, let me introduce myself to those who don't know me. I'm Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I pastor New Creation Christian Ministries, the Kingdom Church, with my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons. Our website is nccmonline.org, so you can go over to our website and check out what we're doing over there. And we have four children. We have two boys and two girls. We've been married for over 19 years. And 2015, we made 19. Next year we'll be married 20 years. And that's a testimony all by itself, because I have never wanted to be with a man more than 2 years. I said I've never wanted to be with a man more than 2 years. It's not that he didn't want me. It's just that after 2 years, I decided that I didn't want to be in a relationship anymore. I thought that they were getting too close, and I began to get bored, and I began to find ways to want to push him out of my life, to kick him to the curb, because I know that I thought that if he got to really know me, then he wouldn't want me, because I realized now that I was operating out of low self-esteem. So I thank God that I was delivered from low self-esteem. I know who I am now, and I don't have any identity problems any longer. And again, my husband and I, we met in a bar, and he was a baby Christian. He invited me to church. He took me to church, and I've been going with him for the past 20 years. Now we pastor our own ministry. God bless you and welcome. God bless you and welcome. Now we pastor our New Creation Christian Ministry together. We have four kids. We have a blended family. He had two boys when I married him. They were little boys, and I had a daughter. My daughter was a teenager getting ready to be a mother. So we had a baby together at that point. So our baby is now 17 years old, and our oldest is 37, and the boys are 27 and 24 years old. So we have a lot going on, and we've been dealing with this issue. We've been teaching. We taught the marriage ministry at our church before we became pastors. We taught the marriage ministry at our church, and we taught the blended family course, because, you know, it's hard. Oh, I didn't even see you coming in. You can come back in. I'll let you in. I'll open the seat for you. You know, it's hard having a blended family. So we taught blended family, and that was rough. I mean, really, getting together and coming together, having a blended family was really like mixing oil with water. And you know that oil and water does not mix. So why are we here? We're here because we believe that our experiences are going to be able to help somebody else who may be having difficulties in their marriage. We have encountered it all. Communication problems, we both do around that divorce word, problems in the sex life. So we even have a chapter in the book, here's our book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work. We even have a chapter in the book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work, and it's available on Amazon, and you can get it on our website, nccmonline.org. But we have a chapter in the book about keeping the marriage bed hot. Whew, keeping the marriage bed hot. Because sex is a big problem in a lot of marriages where the bed gets cold. You know, it's been said that single people have way more sex than married people. So we want to begin to change that around and begin to get that balance back. You know, we want to begin to cut off that divorce rate, to begin to come against divorce and to stop divorce from being such a risk, you know, such a thing that's happening in the church. Amen. So we want to talk about relationship issues today. And I thank God for all of you. I see all of you on Blog Talk Radio. We want to talk to you about relationship issues. God bless you to all of you. I see all of you out there. And if you're on Blab and you want to come in and take a seat, you're more than welcome to take a seat. Amen. But we want to talk about some relationship issues dealing with. I want to talk today. I said we because, I was expecting my husband. Dealing with relationship issues. I want to begin to talk about dealing with relationship issues. How do we prevent problems in the relationship and problems in the marriage from leading us on the path to divorce? Amen. So you don't have to get a divorce. A divorce does not have to be an option. We teach in our classes that divorce is not an option. Divorce does not have to be an option in your marriage. Hallelujah. So in the book, I talk about marriage and relationship problems, and there are some rules for healthy confrontation and conflict resolution that I want to go over. I'm going to go over these rules, and then I'm going to open the phone lines and open the seat for you to come in and talk to me about what you've heard. The number one rule is do not ignore the issue. Do not ignore the issue. Talk about it. If you're in a relationship with someone, communication is going to be the most important thing. You must talk about it. You must talk to your spouse. You must talk to that person that you're dating about what's going on with you. The worst thing that you can do is not talk about it. Amen. How will they know what's going on? And if I say amen a lot, it's because I'm a preacher. I want to, and I do say amen, so I'm going to try to not use it as a crutch word. But how will you know? How will your partner know that you're not happy if you don't tell him? If you don't tell him, if a woman, because this is woman to woman, I'll be talking about the woman. How will he know that he did something wrong if you don't tell him? It's very important for you to communicate and let him know, look, I'm not happy about this. I tell my girls, I teach my girls relationship, my teenage girls at the church, we teach them to be virgins. We teach them to clank, clank for Jesus, amen, keep their legs closed, amen, because when you sleep with someone, and this is a sidebar, when you sleep with some one before marriage, you are exchanging more than feelings, more than a orgasm, more than just having fun in the bedroom. There's actually an exchange taking place. There's a spiritual exchange taking place where your spirit is connecting with his spirit. And I don't know if you've ever heard this about when you sleep with someone, you sleep with everybody that they slept with. So you're not even just getting spirits from that person, but you're picking up spirits from everybody that that person has slept with. Amen. That's why, you know, God doesn't want to deprive us of having sex, because sex is good, and he made sex to be good. But he does want us to be protected against spiritual diseases as well as sexual diseases. Amen. God wants us to be protected against spiritual diseases as well as sexual diseases. Now, you can get a spiritual disease by being connected spiritually to the wrong person. Women are on Blog Talk and Blab. Have you ever had an experience where you slept with somebody, and then after you slept with him, you realized that you really didn't like him, or you realized that he had some behaviors that were not conducive to your well-being? Maybe he was emotionally abusive, or maybe he was emotionally abusive, or maybe he was physically abusive. Amen. And you realized that you didn't want to be with him, but your sexuality and that experience that you were having with him sexually, and because the sex was good, you found yourself cleaving to him. You found yourself unable to break away. I don't know about you, but there are many times, and I'm not going to lie to you, I spent a lot of time looking for love in all of the wrong places. I spent a lot of time waking up looking in the wrong faces. So I'm not here to come to be holier than thou. I'm not. See, one thing you'll find about me is that I am transparent. I'm transparent. I'm not here to play. I'm here to help somebody. Amen. I'm here to help somebody. And if I don't think what I'm saying is helping, I'll shut it down. I'll shut it down. But I spent a lot of time connected to the wrong men. In my last relationship before I married my husband, I was with this dude for like 2.5 years. And he was, you know, beautiful African man, strong African man with a lot of money. I thought I was going to marry him, amen. But this man told me that he couldn't even commit to me. He told me, I asked him, I said, are we in a committed relationship? And he says, I can't commit to you, Rebecca. You know, I've never committed to anyone. I said, well, do you love me? And he said to me, well, I don't know if I love you. He said, I don't know if I love you. I've never been in love before. But we were sexing it up. You know, we were playing house. I was sleeping over regularly, on a regular basis. I was cooking his meals. I was washing his clothes. I was cleaning his house. God bless you. Welcome. You know, so he couldn't commit to me. And, you know, my most devastating moment was when I came, and I'm supposed to be recording, and I didn't even start the recording, amen. Let me just hit record, amen. I was in a relationship with this guy, and my most devastating moment, how are you, Sam? I'm fine, amen. My most devastating moment was when he told me he was going away for a weekend trip. And he was a businessman, again, very rich, had plenty of money. And he told me he was going away for a weekend trip, and I had keys to his townhouse. So while he was away, I thought I would come in and clean up for him. And when I came in, I found newspapers in the bedroom, newspapers in the bathroom on the first floor, newspapers in his office, the Wall Street Journal. I found used condoms in the bedroom, and I was devastated. I was like, what is this? I mean, I cried. I wasn't saved. I hadn't wasn't going to church or anything, but I cried like a baby. I was like, I can't believe this. This dude is cheating on me. But you know what? He already told me that he couldn't commit. He told me he couldn't commit. So why was I surprised? Why was I surprised? But I didn't think enough of myself to get out of that relationship. And other than that, we were having sex. And we were connected. We were spiritually connected. That's why God says don't have sex before marriage, because he wants to protect us, and he wants to make sure that you're not out there just having babies or being spiritually married, because that's how we got married back in the old days, being married to the wrong people. Amen. So just be very careful. You know, you might not be a Christian, and this might not apply to you, but even if you're not a Christian, be very careful. Take some time, you know, before you sleep with somebody. I always say wait until you put the ring on it. You know, wait until you get married before you sleep with that person. Amen. Get to know the person. Know who they are. Know what their likes are. Know if they're going to be abusive. Know what they're like when they're angry. Amen. That is so important. And I don't know why my internet is, like I said, I've been having problems with my computer. I pray that you can hear me without me breaking up, Janice, and those of you who are listening. But it's just so important that we know who we are. You know, one of the chapters in the book is deal with your own issues. Deal with your own issues. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in a relationship where your whole life is wrapped around that man. Don't allow yourself to be put on the back burner of somebody else's life and all of your wants and needs and desires are being ignored. So it's just very important and that you, if you have a problem in your relationship, it's very important that you talk about it. Communicate. Talk to that person that you love. Talk to the person that you're in relationship with. Amen. So that's the first thing you want to do. You want to talk about the problem. Amen. The second thing that you want to do is talk about it. Don't fight about it. See, the mistake that we make as women is that we go in and we go off. We let the head start going, the hand is on the hip, and we're really going off and going in on the brother. We can tear a brother down with our words. Amen. We can tear a brother down without even cursing him out. We can make him feel like we cursed him out. That's how bad we can make him feel. But if you're fighting about it, you're not getting anywhere. If you're fighting about it, you're not getting anywhere. So it's so important that you take a deep breath, take a chill pill, and then talk to him about what's going on. You know, take your time and express yourself. Sit down and write down what's going on so that you will be able to present to him why you're not happy and what you want him to do about it. So talk about it. Don't fight about it. The third thing is use the foundation of the Word of God to determine whether or not you are using the proper behavior in your marriage and in your relationship. You know, be kind. The Word says love doesn't keep an account of wrong. The Word says that love isn't abusive. It doesn't hurt. Amen. Love is kind. Love is not unseemly. It's not rude. You know, so make sure that you are walking in love towards your partner. Make sure that you're walking in love towards your husband, woman of God. You know, sometimes we play the victim. We play the victim, but it's not always him. He did this and he did that, and I can't believe that he treated me like that. But it's not always him. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes it's you. And we really have to take a look at ourselves and see what's wrong with us. Are we bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Are you gentle? Are you kind? Are you loving? Are you faithful? My God, are you patient? Are you long-suffering? No, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. So it's so important that you are using the Word of God. Even if you're not a believer, I say use the Bible. Go to the book of Corinthians. Read the book of James. You know, read the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and begin to understand how a wife, how a woman is supposed to conduct herself in a relationship, in her marriage. Amen. Proverbs said a man would rather be on the roof. I was reading Proverbs today, and it said the man would rather sleep on the roof than live in the house with a contentious woman, with a woman who's just constantly nag, 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 nag. Amen. Just make sure that you are not that woman. Make sure that you are not that woman. Make sure that you are desirable and not undesirable. The next one is keep the lines of communication open throughout your entire relationship. This is important. This is important. Some people are so caught up in social media or in their business or in their lives that the only time that they talk to each other is when they have a problem. Some people have began to use text and Facebook and Twitter as a means of communication. And I'm telling you, your relationship cannot last with that being the case. You have to be able to open your mouth and talk to each other. Turn off the TV. Take walks together. Hold hands. Sit down across the dinner table. Eat dinner together. Talk to each other about what's going on in your life, in your daily life. Have you ever heard the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So it's so important for you to make sure that you're not just talking to him, woman of God or my sister, when you have a problem, but make sure that you're talking to him all of the time. Ask him, how was your day, honey? Did you have a good day? Do you have some things that you need to talk about? I'm here if you need a listening ear. Lately, I've been checking myself with my husband because he'll start talking and then I'll start talking. And we have to avoid that. We have to avoid not listening. We have to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. In other words, what your man has to say is important. And you have to let him feel that way. You have to make him feel that what he has to say is important. Because if you don't listen to him, Bathsheba is going to listen to him. Alice is going to listen. Sally at the water cooler is going to listen. So it's important for you to listen. It's crazy, man, when you are not listening to your husband and then you get jealous because some other female, some other woman is hanging on to his every word and you feel like going over there and knocking her out. But listen, you have the opportunity to do the same thing. Men have eagles. Men have these things called eagles. And these eagles have to be stroked. You have to stroke your man's eagle. Amen. If you're going to be stroking, when I was in the club, there was a song, we'd be stroking. I'm stroking. I'm stroking to the left. I'm stroking to the right. I'm stroking to the one who loves me, the one who loves me best, or something like that. I'm stroking. It was an old bar song. It was an old bar song. But you have to be stroking. You have to be stroking, not in the bedroom, but if you're married, yeah, you got to be stroking in the bedroom if you're married. You got to keep that marriage bed hot. But you also have to be stroking your man's ego, amen. Stroke his ego. Make him feel like the king that he is. The Proverbs 31 woman made her husband look good at the city gate, amen. When your man walks out of the house, he should be floating. He should be floating. When he walks into the house, he should be running into the house. He should be happy to come home. And when he leaves, he should be confident, amen. he should be confident because you have helped to build him up instead of tear him down. See, the problem that we make as women is that we tear our men down. We tear our men down, but we don't want to tear our men down. We want to continue to build them up, amen. So make sure that you're talking all the time. Miles and I, we sit on the couch and we talk. He calls me every day and we talk. And you got to talk to him. Talk to him. Whisper sweet nothings in his ear. Tell him how handsome he is. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how sexy he is, amen. Tell him if he's your husband, how bad you want to make love to him, amen. Talk to that man, amen, amen. Number six. Hallelujah. Number six is, I skipped number four. Number four, maintain your boundaries and check them often to make sure they are still in place and not being violated. We believe in boundaries in relationships. In other words, my husband is my best friend and I'm his best friend. My husband cannot have a female who is his best friend unless she's best friends with the both of us. I don't allow him to go out with women. I don't allow him to get women and pick women up on a regular basis and ride them around. I don't allow my husband to counsel women, my husband and one woman. I am there with him if he's counseling a woman or somebody else will be with him. In our church, he counsels the men and I counsel the women. And if a woman absolutely wants to be counseled by my husband, again, somebody else will be in the room with them. Because you have to have boundaries. You have to have boundaries. I think people are too loose with this friendship stuff where your man is on the phone for hours with his female friend, but he hasn't said 10 words for you. There's a problem. I have a problem with that. Where you have a best friend who's a male and you're talking to him all the time about all of the problems that you're having with your husband, but you're not talking to your husband about the problems. There's a problem. That relationship is in trouble, amen. So you want to make sure that you are keeping the lines of communication open and that you are talking to your spouse and not talking to your best friend who happens to be a man about your man. So I want to encourage you to make sure you have boundaries in place. There's nothing wrong with having best friends, friends of the opposite sex, but just make sure that you're not violating your relationship, that you're not violating the trust in your relationship. Because one night, you could just be crying over your best friend's shoulder, and he happens to be a man, and he's stroking your hair and telling you how your man is a fool and how he wouldn't treat you so bad if he were you, if he were your man. And the next thing you know, feelings start to flow, and y'all wake up the next morning, and it's like, the morning after, you know, you did the wild thing with your best friend who happens to be a man. Because I believe opposites attract. I believe that there's chemistry between a man and a woman. You want somebody going to want somebody. If you might not be interested in him, he might not be your type, but he might just be interested in you. So I'm going to take a break and just ask if anybody has any questions. Our comments, we cover five. There are like seven more that we could talk about how to handle relationship issues, relationship problems. You could, the seat is open, Janice, if you want to come in or if anybody wants to come in and take a seat. Our blog, if you press one, if you have a question or a comment, I will open your phone line and put you on the air and they'll be able to hear you and blab as well. So if nobody has anything, I will continue. But it's so important, you know, your relationship is an investment. Your relationship is an investment, and you want to make sure that you are protecting your investment, especially if you're married. I wonder if I stop the recording, will it stop freezing up?
If you're married, your relationship is
the best.
It's better since I
stopped the recording. Wow, that's something. Okay, so, wow. I'm on the computer for those of you who are listening on Blog Talk Radio, and I was freezing up like crazy, and Janice felt like she probably felt like she was watching me in slow motion. But when I stopped the recording, the freezing stopped. So obviously there's a problem with my internet that I'm not able to record. Let me see if I can start recording again. Your relationship is an investment. Okay, so we're not going to record tonight. Okay, we just recorded that first half, and we're not going to record anymore tonight because I'm freezing up. So I'll check out my internet and see if I can work on getting it faster. And thank you, Janice, for being with me on tonight here on Blab. So let's go through some more, and then I'll close out since nobody has any questions. Number six, communicate with each other, submitting to each other with love and respect. Communicate with each other, submitting to each other with love and respect. It's so important that you keep the respect in your relationship. I don't care how angry you get. It's, you know, it's like when you disrespect a man, it's like taking away his manhood. He can't handle that. He can't handle being disrespected. Again, because he has an ego and because he's a man. And because when you disrespect your husband, you are violating God's law. God told you to submit to your husband. Now, we believe in mutual submission. I told my husband, I'm not the kind of woman that could be ruled over with some man feeling like I'm beneath him. Come on, somebody. God did not make us to be beneath our husband. He made us to be beside. He took Eve out of the thigh of Adam. He did not take Eve out of Adam's foot or out of Adam's butt or back, amen. He took Eve out of Adam's side. You know, it just messes me up when I see men that make their woman walk behind them. I'm like, what's up with that? You know, why does she have to follow up behind you like a puppy dog? The devil is a liar because he would look around and I wouldn't be there. He would look around and I would not be there. I would not be walking. And my husband said, baby, you got to walk behind me because I'm the man. I'd be like, well, you're going to walk by yourself because I'm not walking nowhere with you if I got to walk behind you. But God says that we are to submit to each other, which means that we are to humble ourselves before each other. Amen. He's not lording it over me, and I'm not lording it over him. I'm not disrespecting him, and he's not disrespecting me. I give him the freedom to be who God created him to be, and he gives me the freedom to be who God created me to be. But he is the head. I recognize my husband as the head. He's the authority in our home, and I submit to that authority, amen, because he respects me as his wife. He respects me as his woman, and it's easy to submit to a man who is submitted to the Lord and who's also submitted to you, amen. So that's the submission piece. We'll cover that at another time, but submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Submit to your husband as unto the Lord, amen. Allow him to be the man. What I do is I allow my husband to be the man, but really, the woman could get anything she wants from the man. Come on. Come on, somebody. I can get anything I want from my husband because I have an Esther anointing. You know, when Esther went to the king extended the golden scepter, and he said, what is it you want? I'll give it to you up to half the kingdom. And we have to understand that we can do that with our husbands. There's a way that you can approach your husband. And for those of you who are not married yet, there's a way that you can approach your man. And he will say, what do you want, baby? I'll give it to you, whatever you want. Up to half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. But you have to know how to approach him. And the way that you approach a man is with respect. Because if you disrespect him, you're stripping him of his manhood. So we want to make sure that we are respecting each other. Again, if anybody has a question on a Black or Blog, the platform is open and you can come in. Number 7, fight for your relationship. Fight for each other and not against each other. My God, you have to fight for each other and not against each other. See, who's the real enemy in your relationship? Who's the real enemy? Recognize who the real enemy in your marriage is. The devil. The devil is the real enemy in your marriage. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said, I have come so that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. You have to recognize who you're really fighting against. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your relationship. If you really love that person and you feel like they're the one that God called you to be with, then you need to be able to fight. You have to be ready to fight. I always say, where are my warriors at? Don't just lay down and let the devil steal your relationship, destroy your relationship, kill your relationship or your marriage. Don't throw around that divorce word so loosely. Oh, no. My husband and I, when we came into this thing, we said divorce is not an option. My God, I told him the only way you get out is through death. If you leave, I'm going to have to kill you, dear. But I'm just joking because no man is worth me going to jail for. You understand all of that fighting? If you have to fight him, if you have to be physical with him, then the relationship is just not worth it. Y'all, both of you need to, if you're married, just go get some counseling. If you're not married, run. Run. Run for the hills. If you're not married and you're already starting to rumble, if you got to fight, if you have to cover up a black eye with makeup, and you're not married to that person, then run. If you are married, then get to a safe place. Tell him, look, I'm not going to be your punching bag. You get you some help, and then you come see me after you deal with this anger issue that you have. Amen? So we have to know that God did not create us to be abused. So but by the same token, we're not going to throw the first punch either. I used to feel like I had to fight. I felt like the only way that I was going to know if my husband really loved me was to fight him. Because my parents fought. Listen to me. I grew up in dysfunction. I grew up watching my mother and father fight each other. I grew up hearing them fight in the next room. So I thought that was love. But love is not somebody beating you up beside your head. Love is not somebody kicking you or spitting on you or calling you outside of your name. That's not love. That's a relationship problem that we don't need. That's a relationship problem that you don't need. And you are worth more than that. You are worth more than that. You don't deserve for anybody to put their hands on you in an aggressive way. That's not loving. That's not considerate. That's not caring. Amen. So make sure that you know your value. Make sure that you know your value. You are valuable, and you don't deserve to be beaten. So, again, I'm taking questions. At any time, you could jump into a seat, or you can push one, and I will put you on the air.
The next one is number 8. Do not bring up past arguments, fight, and mistakes during the discussion of the present situation if it is not relevant. If it's a repeated mistake that's repeated over and over and over again, then yes, okay, you can bring it up. You know, you can say, honey, we talked about this before, and you told me you were going to try to change, but I'm not really seeing any change. So that in that case, you can bring it up. But if it is not relevant. In other words, if you're talking about him walking the dog, you cannot bring up the fact that he never spends time with the kids, amen, or that he doesn't bring you flowers. So, because that's a whole nother discussion. Deal with the issue at hand and don't bring in all of the old stuff. Just like last time, you always do this. You never spend time with me. Always. And never, when you're in the middle of a heated
discussion, talking about issues in your relationship or in your marriage, those are words that you want to avoid. You don't want to say, you always do this to me, and I'm so sick and tired of it, I can't stand it anymore. No, no, you don't want to say, you never spend time with me, you never bring me flowers, you never spend time with the kids, you never take me out. And you're talking about the fact that he turned the channel for sports while you were in the middle watching a Lifetime movie. So you want to deal with the issue at hand and not allow things to blow up out of proportion. But the reason that things are blowing out of proportion now is because you didn't deal with all of those issues along the way. You didn't tell him that you missed him bringing you flowers. You didn't tell him that you wanted to go out on a date. See, we sit around and we get mad at our man because he doesn't take us out. But we expect him to read our minds, or we want him to take the initiative. But ask for what you want. Sister, you have not because you ask not. We want him to take the initiative. I used to be like that. I missed out on so much because I wanted my husband to take the initiative. I wanted him to be the one to say, honey, I'm going to take you out, and we're going to have a good time. I bought you some flowers. I wrote you a letter. Listen, drop a hint. It's okay to drop a little hint. Like, I really would like to see that movie. Or, man, I miss our favorite restaurant. You know, and if he doesn't pick up the hint, just go ahead and tell him, honey, I want to go out. I want to go to the movies. I want to go to our favorite restaurant. And again, that doesn't have to take away from the romance unless you allow it to. I used to say, well, that's not romantic if I have to bring it up. It can be romantic as romantic as you want it to be. Because when you go out, you grab his hand and you hold his hand. If he doesn't hold hands, you grab his hand and you hold his hand. I used to do that with my husband. My husband was not romantic. He was not affectionate. But when we went out, I would grab his hand and I would hold his hand and we would take our little walk. Amen. Because he was going to hold my hand. I told him, and now when we walk, Pastor Anthony grabs my hand. He grabs my hand now because I have taught him, listen to me, I have taught him how to treat me. I have taught him that I like to hold hands. I have taught him how to be romantic. You can teach your husband anything you need to, anything you need from him. You don't have to curse him out. You don't have to fight with him. You don't have to have an argument. Just tell him what you want. Just give him those little hints. You initiate it and say, honey, I love you. And then get excited when he does something for you. Get excited. Show some appreciation. Jump up and down. My daughter taught me how to treat my husband. When my husband comes home from work, she would run up to him, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And he would grab her and hug her, and his face would light up with this big smile. And this was during the time when we were having problems in our marriage. And I would say, You know, I would have a frown on my face, You know, and I would be sitting there with my arms folded and a frown on my face. And he came in and he would look at me and he had this look on his face. But he wasn't smiling at me. Because I wasn't smiling at him, but then I got the clue. So I started running to the door when he came in the door. I started running up, talking about, honey, hi, I'm so glad to see you, wrapping my arms around him. Amen. Listen, don't push him away. Pull him towards you. If he's not romantic enough, don't push him away. That's going to make it worse. Pull him towards you. Amen. So you want to make sure that you're not bringing up past arguments. Deal with the issue ahead. Number 9, hear each other out. Do not over-talk each other. Take turns letting each other talk about what's on your mind. Amen. That's so important. That's so pertinent. You know, again, so this is something women do all of the time. We will tell the brother everything that's wrong with him. Brother, we got a list. I mean, tell me. We have a whole list. I used to have a whole list of stuff that was wrong with my husband. And I couldn't wait to unload it. I couldn't wait to go down the list and mark off each and everything that was wrong with him. But the minute that he said, well, I don't like it when you, I'd be like, no, I don't want to hear it. And I would over-talk him, and I wouldn't listen to anything that he had to say because, look, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle his criticism. I could handle criticizing him, but I could not handle him criticizing me. Come on, somebody. Come on. And we do this. We do this a lot. And we will never be happy because what happened was my husband started walking around on eggshells around me. He started walking around on eggshells. He started internalizing stuff. He stopped being romantic. He stopped writing me notes. He stopped loving on me. My God. And I missed that. I wanted that. The very thing that I wanted, because I would not listen to him. Because I would not listen to what the problem was, the problem that he was having with me. I was depriving myself of the best love, my God, of genuine love. I was manipulating my husband. I was making him love me according to what I wanted him to love me, how I wanted him to love me. But I was not allowing him the freedom to love me like he needed to love me, like he wanted to love me, amen. I wouldn't listen to him. I was not a good wife. I was not a good wife. I was horrible. I was mean. I was angry. I was bitter. I was critical. I was cold. Then at times, I was controlling. I was not a good wife. And every time he got ready to tell me about myself, I was like, I'm not hearing it. Palm to the hand, because I'm not hearing it. And, you know, we would be like Sybil. Your head begin to spin, and you get real ugly, and you start to spit in the saliva. And we got to do better. I'm talking to the women tonight because my husband is not with me, but... And this is woman to woman, but we got to do better. We have to do better when it comes to our husbands, when it comes to the men that we want to marry us. Why would he marry you when you act like a stone cold fool all the time? I mean, I'm not saying you do, but if you do, why would he marry you if you don't allow him to talk? Again, I said it earlier, the best compliment you could give your husband is to just lean in and look into his eyes and listen to him as he talks to you. He's saying it's the most important thing in the world and that nothing else matters for him. That's the best compliment you can give him. That's the best compliment you can give that man. Stroke his ego by paying attention to him and letting him know, honey, you're important to me. How you feel is important to me. Which, and that's how to get a man, too. So for the single, all the single ladies say, ow. All the single ladies say, ow. That's how to get a man, too. Let him know that what he has to say is important to you. Amen. I only have a few more minutes. Let me just go through 10, 11, and 12 real quick. Hear each other out. Hear each other out. I talked about that. 10, no yelling, no name calling, no unfair accusations or cursing at each other. Now, you might say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't curse. I was a Christian, and I was cursing. 7 years in, I was still cursing my husband out. 7 years into my marriage, and I was still cursing my husband out. I was still cursing him out. Disrespect, again, dissing him, disrespecting him, you know, and we got to do better, you know, yelling at him, screaming at the top of my lungs, kicking him out, get out. And don't ever come back, ever. I don't need you, get out. That was me. I don't know if anybody else does that. But that was me. I can do bad by myself. I don't need you. Get out. Leave. I don't want you. You ain't nothing. Get out. And we are really tearing that man down. You tear him down when you do that. I wrote it in Nobody's Business. When I wrote Nobody's Business, that's a hot book. You got to buy Nobody's Business with Clara and Jason. And I wrote it in Nobody's Business, and Jason told Clara, when you do that to me, you tear me down. You tear me down. You tearing that man down, amen. So don't do it, amen. Speak in a calm voice. Have respect for each other. Number 11, be slow to speak. I'll recover this. Quick to listen and quick to forgive. Slow to become angry and quick to forgive. Forgiveness is so important. No matter how many times you have to forgive, keep forgiving over and over and over again. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Deal with the situation, resolve it, and forgive each other. And number 12, once the conflict is over, leave it in the past, forgive each other if necessary, and move on to the future. Amen. And move on to the future. So those are the 12, God bless you and welcome. Those are the 12 conflict resolutions. Those are the 12 rules for healthy confrontation and conflict resolution out of our book that I wrote with my husband, Making Marriage and Relationships Work. It's available on our website. It's available on Amazon. Pastor Rebecca Simmons and Anthony Simmons, we wrote the book. Get a copy of that book. That's chapter 15. Amen. Move on. Move on. Don't allow the past to hinder the future of your relationship. Amen. So that's all that I have for today. I covered the whole hour of dealing with problems in your relationship, dealing with problems in your marriage. Unfortunately, we couldn't record the whole broadcast because my internet was acting up and I kept freezing up. But next time, prayerfully, we'll be able to record and we'll be able to probably do a repeat on this. So I want to invite anybody in the chair. The chair is open. If anybody wants to come in on Blab for the closing remarks, if anybody on Blab Talk Radio has any comments or questions, just press 1. And we will allow you to come in and discuss this. No questions? No comments? Well, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're going to be dealing with relationships and marriage for a while. Next week, I'm going to deal with how do you know if he's the one? How do you know if you should marry him? So next week, I invite you to join me here on Blab, and I invite you to join me on the Blab Talk Radio as we discuss how do you know if he's the one. Amen. So God bless you. Good night. Thanks for joining. Let somebody know about this Blab. I didn't even tweet it out. I mean, I came on the air. I messed myself up on Periscope. I'm on Periscope. I invite you all to join me on Periscope Live every day. I'm on Periscope every day. So follow me at Pastor Rebecca on Periscope. Listen, we had church on Periscope today. We had church. Listen, we went in. We went in on Periscope today. So follow me on Periscope, and I was on there for almost an hour, just pouring out, pouring out. And I invite you to come over and follow me. And I don't have a set time that I come because I'm coming every day. I have to be able to be flexible. But I'll be back here on Blog Talk Radio and Blab. God, if I'm not, nothing comes up. If nothing comes up again, we'll be here next Monday. Amen. So God bless you. Go in peace and serve our God. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to play a song on Blab, and I'm going to close out on Blab Talk Radio. Amen. God bless you.
Can you hold your marriage Can you imagine just standing before the King? Oh, I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine, yeah, what my can only imagine. I could only imagine to be surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all you be still? I could hold.